This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series on In His Presence. Psalm 16 says, In His presence is fullness of joy, at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And this is the beautiful thing is that, yes, it's going to be wonderful when we walk on those streets of gold, when we walk through those gates of pearl, and when we hear the angels singing and we behold the angels, behold the saints through the ages, when we are reunited with our loved ones and our friends, when we see the blessed face of our Savior and stand in the presence of our Father. You know, that is wonderful. We will taste joy in its fullness, but we don't have to wait until then. We can experience His presence here and now. I would have lost heart unless I'd believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so we can experience God's goodness in this life. We can experience His presence in this life. And so we've been dealing with the first point, which is pride has no place. Pride has no place in His presence. If we want to experience the presence of God, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32 in the New Living. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed off all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the swine. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So the party began. And you know, I think that's a good way to reflect and to give you perspective on the loss of a loved one. Because for us, the grieving begins when a loved one dies. But for them, the party begins. The party begins because they're reunited with their parents, with their grandparents, with, you know, if they've lost children or if they've had other loved ones who went before them, siblings, etc. Think about the joy, the party that begins when we see our loved ones, when we see our loving Heavenly Father, and when we behold our Savior. What a day that will be. Praise God. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of his servants what was going on. Your father is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And this is part of the problem. He had a slave mentality. He was living as a slave when he needed to be living as a son. He said, all these years I've slaved for you, never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now is found. Before the son left, he was saying, give me. But when he returned, he was saying, make me. You see, the son had to humble himself and acknowledge that he was wrong. The son had to acknowledge his sin. The son had to humble himself before his father. The Son left in pride, but he returned in humility. And as long as we insist on walking in pride and exalting self or indulging our sinful desires, ambitions or agendas, we will be shut out of the Father's presence too. And this is what we see in the older son, because both sons were really shut out of the Father's presence. One because of his sin and the other because of his pride. And so the son returned in humility. The elder brother had a certain degree of pride, saying, I didn't do this and I didn't go there and I didn't whatever. And yet he had a slave mentality rather than a son's mentality. So pride drove the younger son from the father's presence, but it was grace that brought him home. And it was grace that opened his heart and mind to hear the voice of the father calling him home. And as he lay there in the pig pen in self-inflicted filth and misery, And let's be honest, many of our problems are self-inflicted, and it takes a degree of humility for us to acknowledge that you know what? Adam blamed Eve when confronted by God in the garden, and the Eve blamed the serpent, and since then men and women have been blaming each other and blaming everything else. But it takes humility to acknowledge, like David in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned. David had to acknowledge his sin. You know, there is power in humility. There's power in humbling ourselves before God. Like the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. You know, Psalm 51 verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be just when you speak and blameless when you judge. It's interesting, verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. You know, some people have inferred that possibly David was born out of wedlock, and maybe this was one reason why Jesse didn't call for him. But, you know, whether that is the case or not, when he says this, behold, you desire truth in inward parts, because for a long time David sought to justify or suppress or ignore his sin. And yet the Bible says it was like rottenness in his bones, and he had to humble himself and deal with his sin. And so in the same way, like I said, the prodigal son is lying there in self-inflicted filth and misery and loneliness, abandoned by his so-called friends, hungry, humiliated, homeless, hopeless, lonely. All of his great plans of achievement, notoriety, fame and wealth lay there in the mud, and he hears grace whispering in his ear, it's time to come home to your father's house. And suddenly it's like a light turns on in this dark place he's been in. Suddenly hope arises on the inside of himself as he thinks with fond remembrance of his father's kindness, love, and generosity. And he thinks, maybe I could never be a son again, but maybe I could at least be a servant. At least I could be in the presence of my father again. And so he craves the presence of his father. He no longer craves the wealth or the parties or the prostitutes or all the other things he probably engaged with during his time of just giving into the flesh and going the way of the world. But he comes to the place where, you know, he's sick of these things, but he craves the presence of his father. And he doesn't care if he will only be a lowly servant once he gets to be close to the father. And so he humbles himself to repent and return to what might be a much lesser position, but he doesn't care, because he will now count it as a privilege to serve his father. And how did he feel when he saw his father run towards him? Because I'm sure all of the way home as he walked, he was reproaching himself, thinking, what do you think? What are you doing? What are you thinking to imagine that you would be accepted even as a servant by your father? And maybe he had a picture in his mind of his father seeing him and turning his back and walking away, or sending his servants to cause him to be thrown off the land. I don't know. But to see his father run towards him, and again running towards him contrary to all cultural norms or expectations of the time, for those who are elderly to run, it just was not done. It was certainly contrary to anything that he deserved, asked, or imagined. How did the prodigal son feel when his father refused to condemn, demean, embarrass, or lecture him? Or even when the father refused to even listen to him grovel or beg, but instead immediately called for the servants to bring him a ring and his sandals and to place a fine garment to cover his nakedness. And so after a long winter of rebellion, sin, shame, despair, humiliation, and hopelessness, How did it feel to finally have the warm rays of grace break through the dark fog he had been in? To hear a kind word, to feel a warm embrace, to wear clean clothes, to have shoes in his feet again, to lie in a clean bed. And you know what? To have food in his belly. And on top of that, to throw a celebration when all he deserved was condemnation. For restoration to his position as a son was far more than he could have possibly dreamt of, even in his wildest imaginations. What did it feel like to be finally embraced again, to feel loved, valued, forgiven, and accepted by his family? You know, like I said, how did it feel to be warm, to have a good meal, to be loved, to be celebrated, rather than neglected and ignored? To be accepted as a member of the family, to no longer be a stranger or an outcast, to no longer be rejected or ignored, to finally belong again, to finally have an identity again, to know that your past no longer has power to determine your future, to know that your past actually no longer even exists, to taste of God's grace. This is what the prodigal son tasted of, and that's what every one of us who receive Christ as our Savior taste of too. And if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to taste of the grace that the prodigal son tasted of, just pray this simple prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that you were born of a virgin. I believe that you lived a perfect life, and that when you died on the cross, you died in my place, bearing my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCBR. God bless you.